أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we will look at the tafsir and explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 15 to 18. So continuing on from the previous lessons, the munafiq tell their shayateen, or the disbelieving friends, that we were just mocking them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them his verdict and says, they think they are mocking the believers, but in fact, Allah is mocking at them. Why does it say this? Why is this said? As we learn in Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they plot, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states right after that, that he plots. So they think they mock, but Allah mocks them. Number two explanation is that in a hadith we learn that on the day of judgment, when the people destined for hellfire are put in the hell, it will be said to them, those who used to mock in this world, they will be told, leave hell, and the doors of hell will be opened. So when they see the doors opened, they will try to leave from there. But as soon as they get close to the doors, they will be closed for them. Then the doors will be opened again, and then again told to leave from here. So as soon as they begin to run and try to leave, the doors again close up on them. The believers will be sitting in their thrones in Jannah, and will be looking at them and will laugh. As mentioned in Surah Mutaffifin, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. That day, the believers will laugh at the disbelievers who are getting their punishment because they mock the believers, so Allah will mock them. Another way to look at it is that when someone digs a pit for someone, and whoever they dig it for, instead of the intended person falling in it, they fall in it themselves. So the other person watches and mocks instead. Here, they were mocking, so Allah mocks them. And they humiliated themselves because of it. So going back to the munafiq, they had lost all respect in their society. Whenever they did their plotting, they would get exposed, as nothing remains hidden. The things they said against the believers would get exposed. When this happened, they would be the ones humiliated and find difficulty for themselves. وَيُمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. So why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grasp them? Because Allah had given them respite, so they exceed in their transgression. And they think that they will not be seized for their mockery. Just as when someone does wrong and continues doing wrong, and they start to think that no one will know about it, or that na'udhu billah, even Allah does not know about it, and they think they can get away with it. This is the respite. This is called letting loose of the rope. We can better understand this when we think of an example. An example of two dogs tied to a rope. One dog is tied to a long rope, maybe around 100 foot, and one with only just 1 foot of rope. So if they both try to run and escape, the one with the longer rope, when he runs very fast, he doesn't realize that the rope is tied to the other end. And he runs fast. So because it was running fast, when the rope ends, it will nearly choke and kill the dog. So the one given a longer respite will consider themselves free, as the dog with a longer rope thinks it is free to escape and run away. While our rope is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gives the freedom for transgressors to run fast, and he starts thinking he is free. And when he reaches 100 feet and the end of the rope, that will choke him and be a source of destruction for him. He thinks he is safe and that no one knows of their wrongdoings. No, rather this is respite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where can they escape? فَهُمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. But they are wandering around blindly, being excessive, exceeding and transgressing on blindly. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. So these are the ones who have bartered or bought the misguidance instead of guidance. They had the option to get either of the two things. One was misguidance and the other guidance. And they had the choice. So they chose misguidance over guidance. So where does one get hidayah or guidance? If we look at the beginning ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Hidayah is in this Quran, and one gets it from the Book of Allah. So one who leaves it then will be يَعْمَهُونَ, the one wandering blindly, keeps on falling left and right, sometimes walks upon this way from hearsay, then another way from listening to someone else. And if they get waswasas from shaitan, they start following that. Or they start following their own thinking, or hear something in a gathering, then they start following that. They cannot see the real truth. Then this person will only get lost. So what is dolala? Dolala is getting lost from the straight way. So if one doesn't know the straight way, they will get lost. Hidayah is guidance and the path to reach the correct destination. If one doesn't know the correct way, will only be lost as they don't have directions or they don't follow directions. So the munafiqeen could have received guidance, but instead they preferred and chose misguidance for themselves. They felt an allergy from hearing Quran, as some people find boredom from Quran. If they are called to the gathering of the Quran, they say, we cannot sit so long. Or they say, we hear the same stories and the same talks. So dalal is being removed from the straight path. These people are paying a big price for their trade. This trade, each and every one of us is doing every day. Everyone has two choices, to either take guidance or misguidance. This is one's own choice to buy which one they want. Since they are trading, they bought it. But to buy something, one has to give something in exchange. So what is the price of hidayah? Both guidance and misguidance have a price. So what is the price? Do you have to give a price for gaining guidance? We have to give up and leave something to take time to learn. This is the payment for hidayah. The Sahaba or companions gave a heavy price for hidayah. They endured many hardships and difficulties. They went through many trials, made many sacrifices, left their homes even. This was the price they paid for their guidance. And misguidance has its own price. Being saved from difficulties, saving oneself from losses, and working and making everything for this life, not coming to the path of Allah, and choosing the easy way out. This is the price for misguidance. While hidayah is expensive and have to pay a price for it. One doesn't just get it like that for free. It is very precious. Have to pay a big price for it. just as one who pays a heavy price for jewels and diamonds. While for ordinary rocks, one does not have to pay anything. Misguidance is saving oneself from difficulties of following the truth and following the way of ease. So if one does not want to pay any price for Hidayah, nor make any investment in it, then how will they get Hidayah? Today, this is the first step as we are learning Quran. We are starting to see the straight way a little bit. We are getting sight, but we have to make the effort to walk upon the way of guidance and must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, take us to the correct destination. We must remain upon the guidance until the end of our life. But of course, you have to pay the price and be ready for it. If you think you can get it for free without any effort, you will not get it. Its price is not money, but time, hard work, and striving and steadfastness. This is to be able to see the way of the guidance. And to walk upon the guidance, we have to pay a price too. We have to put many things aside. First and foremost is crushing our own desires and have to give up some of our own will. Remember, Hidayah comes with a price tag, which the munafiqeen were not ready to pay. Munafiq would not pay the price, and they said it was too costly. So they chose the easy way. But their trade did not benefit them, because they preferred misguidance, which was only a trade of loss. And these are the ones who never gain guidance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُحْتَدِينَ. So what is Hidayah or guidance? And who are the ones to gain guidance? Those who look for the way of guidance. When they find it, they walk upon it. And then they make it to the correct destination. So the munafiq, or the hypocrites, were not even ready to look at this way, nor wanted to walk upon it. These are the ones who are on the last step. Where will they end up? They will not find the way of guidance, and they surely will not reach the correct destination. So how did they reach to this point? وَمَا كَانُوا مُحْتَدِينَ. If we look at Ayah 8, their first fault was that they said, we believe in Allah and the last day. Of course, there is nothing wrong with saying this. But what is wrong is that it was only said with their tongues, and there was no faith inside their hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say their faith is weak or less, but not there at all. Number 2, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They try to deceive Allah and those with faith. We should check inside our own self that if I am trying to deceive myself, because they only deceive themselves. Number 3, وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They don't even think to go into the depth of the matter. Number 4, in them is a disease, a sickness. Number 5, كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. And they used to lie. Lying is one of the signs of nifaq. As the Prophet ﷺ stated, save yourself from lying, because lying takes you to sinning, and sins take you to hell. One person lies at every opportunity and keeps on lying until he is written among the liars near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gets known as kazzab, which means a big liar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the last of times, there will be Dajjal and such liars that they will narrate such a hadith you would have never heard before, nor your forefathers. So stay away from them, so they don't misguide you and put you in a trial. This is in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ also stated, a person's faith is not complete until he leaves lying. Not even in joking doesn't lie. Lying is such an evil. This is their fifth sign. Number six. وَتُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. They spread corruption upon earth. This is another sign of nifaq. They used to spread corruption in the earth while they used to call themselves ones to reform. And they never admitted their mistakes if they were reminded. Number seven. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They do not have any knowledge and they are ignorant. Number eight. وَيَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And they mock. Number nine. وَمَا كَانُوا مُحْتَدِينَ. They are misguided. Then the trade. اشْتَرَوَ الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْخُدَى. Or purchase misguidance instead of guidance. They could have purchased guidance, but chose not to. So now, what is their end result? They will never gain guidance. So we should all make an assessment of our faith. Which level it is at? Is it weak? Or what is it? When faith gets weaker and weaker, then we should fear entering into nifaq. Because nifaq is something that puts our akhirah, our eternal life, in danger. This disease of nifaq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this and keep our hearts free from nifaq and remove it from our hearts and make our hearts sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our faith sincere and make our iman strong. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now we will look at ayah 16 and 17. You can put these ayahs together and you can put them in brackets. These two ayahs give an example. Also, ayah 19 and 20 give an example, a second example. So we learn two examples. We will learn the different opinions about them. The first opinion is that the both examples in ayah 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 are about the munafiqeen. As we learned that not all believers were at the same level, nor all disbelievers were at the same level, nor munafiq were all the same. For example, if we look at true believers, the best example was of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then there were those with weak faith. In disbelievers, there were some who were like Abu Jahl. Then there was Abu Talib. The same in Munafiqeen. Where there was Abdullah ibn Ubay, there were others at lower levels of hypocrisy. Abdullah ibn Ubay was known as the chief of Munafiqeen. In Nifaq, there were those who have reached its last stage. Then there are those who were at the beginning stage. They're at the first step. And these people still have a chance to return, turn back. This is the first opinion we learn about these two examples. The second opinion is that the first example mentioned in ayah 17 and 18 is about those mentioned in the beginning of this surah in ayah 6 and 7. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ. So their example is mentioned in ayah 17 and 18. And from ayah 8 onwards, the example of munafiqeen is in ayah 19 and 20. But the stronger opinion is that These both examples are about the munafiqeen. One who has exceeded in limits, and then the others, 19 and 20, who have a chance to return to true faith. First, we will learn the Shani Nuzul, or when it was revealed. Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud narrate this event, found in Ibn Jarir. There were two munafiq of Medina. They left the company of the Prophet ﷺ and went to the mushrikeen. On their way to the mushrikeen, or the disbelievers, they were overtaken by rain. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah. In ayah 19 and 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, in it is loud noise, thunder and lightning. And when the lightning struck, they would put their fingers in their ears from fear of death. And when the lightning lit up the sky, they would start walking. And when it became dark, they would stop and stand still. When they felt overcome, they said, wish it was morning so we could return back to the Prophet ﷺ. So when the morning came, they went back to the Prophet ﷺ and believed with a sincere heart. And they started obeying the commands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives examples of munafiq of Medina by mentioning about these two munafiq who had left the city. So these ayahs were about these two who had the chance to return to the true faith, and they became true believers.